Let's pray. Father, as we open your word and we come to this familiar part of scripture, we ask that you would just help us to consider it anew. We thank you that we learn so much in these parables. Help me to explain it well, help us to listen well, and help us together to honour you. Amen. Now, my mum was always a nervous passenger in the car. So she would often sit on the back seat when mum was driving. Oh, when dad was driving. Mum was on the back seat. Thank you. As you could imagine, this made the conversation a little harder because dad was a bit deaf, so he needed mum to speak a little bit louder. One day, Dad was going somewhere in the car. This is a true story, probably to the hardware store because my dad loved going to the hardware store. At the last minute, Mum changed her mind and decided to come along for the ride, and she opened the rear door and she sat on the back seat. Dad didn't hear Mum enter the car because, well, he's a bit deaf. And he's driving along, whistling merry and having a jolly good time. Then Mum decided that she needed to say something. Can you imagine what happened? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Over the last few weeks, we've been thinking about the gospel, about its content and its implications. The gospel is a gift given to whoever God chooses. God chooses to save who he chooses to save, and those whom he saves are saved by the hearing of the gospel. That unless God awakens us by the outpouring of his grace, then we remain dead in our trespasses and sins. This is the dangerous gospel. To some, it's a message of foolishness, but to others, it's a message of wisdom. So as I mentioned, today we're going to look at the parable of the sower. We could have looked in other gospels, but today we're looking at Mark's version in Mark chapter 4. And here we see that the word of Jesus is foolishness to some, and to others, it is the wisdom of God. So I hope you have your Bibles open with me to Mark 4:1. And you'll see that Jesus begins to teach by the lake, and the crowd is up for a good story. The hoi polloi, the everyday rabble of ordinary life. They're attracted to Jesus, and the crowd gathers quickly, for the word has spread of the amazing miracles and profound teaching that Jesus has been doing in the region. So it doesn't take long for a crowd to gather. And Mark tells us that the crowd was so large that Jesus made for himself a makeshift stage on the lake so that he could see as many people as possible. And after they set up the live stream, Jesus taught the crowds many things in parables, and everyone loves the parable of the sower. So let me read it, but this time in the New Living Version. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed, and he scattered it across his field. Some of the seed fell on the footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plant soon wilted under the hot sun. And since it didn't have any deep roots, it died. Other seed fell among the thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants, so these plants produced no grain. Still other seed fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as what had been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. But who in the crowd has ears to hear? Was there anyone amongst that rabble, that was a crowd, who was stirred enough to learn more about the kingdom of God? It was a massive crowd. It was huge. Was there anyone there who had ears to hear, or did Jesus sound more like a first century TED talk, entertaining but soon forgotten? For most in the crowd, the parable was no more than just a good yarn. Well, verse 10 settles the question. For from among the large crowd, there were some who had ears to hear, but not too many. Notice that the story quickly switches from Jesus and the crowd to Jesus alone with the 12 and a few others around him, a few others from the crowd. Well, they came, just a few, and they came to sit with the 12 disciples to hear the secrets of the kingdom from Jesus. Oh, most of the crowd, everyone else went home. See, that's parables, isn't it? They attract or repel. They make clear and they mask. They cause ears to itch for more learning, or they cause ears to shut down and become deaf. Jesus speaks to the disciples and the remnant from the crowd, and he begins in verses 11 and 12. You'll see it there. And he says to them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that," and now Jesus is quoting from Isaiah 6:9, "that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Well, that's a surprise. What can we say about parables? Well, the first thing we can say is that Jesus tells parables because, in line with this, with scriptures such as Isaiah 6:9, his message blinds and deafens and hardens. That there is an opaqueness to the parables that not everyone penetrates. Not everyone hears the story behind the story. There is an entrenched unbelief to hear the parable and reject it. Isaiah knew that when he preached God's message, he was doing no more than confirming the unbelief of the people around him, the unbelief of Israel. Since the nation in Isaiah's day was so corrupt, since their worldview was so anti-God, that when the truth appeared, it looked so repulsive to them. And with a few exceptions, in Isaiah's day, the people rejected the prophetic message from God. But Isaiah 6 is not merely a description of unbelief in Isaiah's day. It finds its ultimate fulfillment in the rejection of Jesus. You know, some people come to church for years and years and years and years. And over that time, they hear about Jesus. They hear the gospel. They hear about the things of God. They hear and yet refuse to believe. There are some people who will never believe. In fact, if you speak the truth in love, you will cause some people never to believe. There are some times when the truth itself damns. The truth itself hardens. The truth itself blinds. The truth itself makes ears deaf because there is already this guilty, God-forsaking, unbelieving, self-focused hatred of all things to do with God, man, and sin. It's a dreadful situation. I can't think of anything worse in the scriptures. To hear the word of God and to reject it. In chapter 3, the religious leaders rejected Jesus. Now many in the crowd do not understand. And when Jesus is finished, they packed up and they went home. You know, in Mark's gospel, there's a lot of walking away from Jesus. And by using parables, Jesus confirms people in their unbelief. To those hardened in their unbelief, parables hide the truth. Oh, there's another reason, of course, why Jesus tells parables. Jesus tells parables because in line with Scripture, his message reveals things hidden in Scripture. The parables teach about the kingdom of God. So Jesus tells this little story about seeds that are grown, that are thrown onto various types of ground and soils. On some soils, the seed is snatched away by birds. On other soil, the seeds fall onto hard ground and they never actually germinate. Elsewhere, the seed falls and it's choked by the thorns. But some seeds fall onto fertile ground and whoosh, off they go. They grow and they produce an abundance of crop. To those who repent and believe the good news of Jesus, more will be given and more is given. For Jesus goes on to explain the parable for those with ears to hear. So have a look with me from verse 13. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable if you don't get this one?" The farmer sows the word. That's what he's doing. And some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But what happens? But since they have no root, they last only for a short time. And when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. They're gone. They're to be seen no more. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desires for other things, they come and they choke the word, making it unfruitful. But others, well, it's like seed sown on good soil. They hear the word, accept it, and they produce a crop, oh, not just a little crop, not just a small flower, not something that you need a microscope to see. 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. See, the crowd hear the word of God, and it's as though the seed is thrown into their minds and hearts. And this seed is the word, and it falls where it pleases. For some people, Satan comes and snatches the word away. For others, they receive the word of joy, but when trouble comes, they quickly fall away. Still others hear the word and the worries of life consume them. Yet those with ears to hear, the seed embeds itself and produces this mighty crop. I wonder, as Jesus looked out, I'm sure he could see the hearts of people in the crowd there. And he knew the dynamic. He knew what was going on. He knew what this word was doing in the hearts of the people who were listening. They had no idea. There's someone standing over there listening to Jesus. But Jesus knew the spiritual dynamic that was happening in each one of their hearts. And he knows what's happening in us too. So as we come to think about what this parable directly says to us, let's think of it this in three ways, with three layers of application. It's like peeling away an onion in three layers. Each layer relates to the other, but there are three different layers. The first layer is the crowd who hear the miracle. The next layer arises from the context of the parable, which puts this parable of the sower in the context of suffering and the death of Jesus. Then thirdly, what is Mark saying to the church, who acknowledges Jesus as the risen Lord? What can we learn from this parable? Well, the crowd is the ordinary people, the hoi polloi in life, who hear the words of Jesus. You know, later on in Mark 9:19, Jesus describes these crowds as the unbelieving generation. Was it not the crowd in the Gospel of Mark who Pilate sought to satisfy? Was it not the crowds who deserved approached the agony of the cross? Do you stand among the crowds today, listening but never hearing? See, mob mentality is when people adjust their personal views to fit the group they're in. That's mob mentality. People go with the status quo. They believe what the majority believe, because how could so many people be wrong? It was a big crowd. Belonging to a crowd is a tribal experience. And we live in a secular, unbelieving world which is very tribal. And it brings with it security and a sense of belonging. But do you notice how quickly Mark weaves the crowd out of the story? It doesn't take long. The crowd quickly gather, and they are the people upon whom the seed falls, but the seeds yield no crop, no soil, rocky soil, choking thorns. The seed bears no fruit. Crowds are ephemeral and temperamental and shallow. And is this really where you belong? Is that where you want to be? Do you want to be amongst the worldly and shallow thinkers with no thought to the deeper words of Jesus? The parable confirms the unbelief of the crowd. As quickly as they came, more quickly do the crowd scatter. Even in the small crowd of this church, you can leave for home not hearing the words of Jesus. And as you leave in your unbelief, you fulfill the words of Isaiah. You saw but never perceived. You heard but there was no understanding. You have decided not to turn to God in repentance and faith because you are the Messiah of your short life. And I want to say to you that it's not too late. For from among the crowd, some did have ears to hear, and to them were given the secrets of the kingdom of God. What is the secret of the kingdom? It is no less than Jesus himself. The good news is that through his death and resurrection, God offers life to all who repent and who follow his Son. So if you're in the crowd, step out of it. Do it. Step out of it. Follow Jesus. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. The second layer of application arises from the context of the parable, which is the Jewish religious leaders who sought to put Jesus to death. And in chapters 2 and 3, we read about this. The Pharisees and teachers of the law collide with Jesus in a sequence of events where Jesus asserts his authority and his desire to reach out to sinners. Fancy that. And the entire sequence climaxes in Mark 3:6. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. And so here in this verse, Mark is inviting us to understand the remainder of the gospel in the context of the suffering and death of Jesus. It's as though the entirety of the gospel, from Mark 3:6 onwards, that great slab of gospel is an introduction to the cross of Christ. And so the parable of the sower is spoken within the shadow of the cross. For only through the death of the Son of Man will the disciples ultimately bear fruit. The Son's rejection by God. My God, why have you forsaken me? And the centurion's declaration, surely this man was the Son of God. And the clarion call of victory, he has risen. The seed that Jesus sows in this parable is the seed of his death and the victory of his resurrection, which he shares with those who believe in him. And so throughout the gospel, he says things like this: the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, And after 3 days, who will rise. To reject the words of Jesus is to reject the suffering Son of Man. To believe the words of Jesus is to accept his death and enter into the life that he offers. So how does one enter into the kingdom of God? By believing in the seed of the gospel and allowing it to take root and flourish in our lives. But you also might be hearing this parable as someone who already follows Jesus. The disciples left everything to follow him, so you approach this parable from the point of view of someone who has already confessed Jesus to be your Lord. Remember that Mark wrote his gospel to a community who already acknowledged Jesus as their Saviour and risen Lord. So what is this parable saying to you? Well, here is a warning about the dangers that might overcome your faith. So keep a close check on the state of your heart. Do not harden your hearts so it becomes as hard as concrete, lest Satan come and snatch the word away. Or do not allow your heart to become a rocky place where the next trouble or suffering comes and you allow the word to fall away. Or do not allow the word to be choked out of your life by worries and materialism and the concerns of whatever else is happening in your life. In all these things, ensure that your heart remains like fertile soil. There were lots of seeds sown during the recent drought, and with no water, with cracked and parched soil, the seeds died and no crops were harvested. One simply cannot grow crops without the right seed in the right soil. So do not let the soil of your hearts go into drought and become dry and fertile. Nourish your heart with the gospel of life. Tend to it regularly and produce the fruit of the Spirit, for yours is the kingdom given to you by grace alone. Are you hard of hearing? He who has ears to hear, let him and her hear. Why don't we pray? Father, we thank you for the profound nature of the parables that we have before us. We thank you for this parable of the sower. And we are brought into a state of self-examination. Father, we fool others, I guess we do, but we do not fool you. Examine our hearts and reveal to us where our hearts lie. And if you need to take us out of the crowd and save us, then do it now. And if we are wavering in our Christian lives and we so easily risk the gospel being snatched away from us, have mercy on us, we pray. Keep us in your kingdom. Give us ears to hear for the rest of our days. Amen.